Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to the broadcast today. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. I want you to get your Bible, get your notepad and a pen if you're able. Call a friend, call a neighbor, let them know we're getting ready to study God's holy word. Today we're going to teach a message entitled Christ's Righteousness and the Righteousness Christ Will Judge. The Bible said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be judged for the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. That's what the Bible said. He's going to judge good or bad. So I want to show you in this lesson the type of righteousness that Christ is going to judge. Everybody think he's going to judge his own righteousness, but he's not. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteousness. He's going to judge the righteousness that you do, not the righteousness of Christ. We are made righteous by the blood of Christ, but now that we are righteous, we should be living a righteous life. Look at it again, 1 John 3, 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Matthew 5, verse 20, look at what Jesus taught. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus meant your righteousness. Let's go further and learn more about the righteousness that Jesus would judge. God bless you.
All right. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 29 through 31. And we're going to start there. Father, we do honor you tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for being with us in this teaching tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for the teaching and preaching of the holy word of God. I pray that we'll do no damage to the scriptures, that you'll guide us and confirm your word with signs following. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say on Sunday, after I finish ministering, I'm going to be on radio doing like a 5-day teaching on obedience. And after I finish teaching on obedience Sunday, if some of y'all remember, I said, Father, if this be your word, confirm it. What a better way to confirm than to have a man come up saying, I want to be saved? What a better way to have a little child come up saying, I believe in Jesus, I want to be baptized? And then to have five people to baptize this coming Sunday. That's the best confirmation I think I could have ever gotten. God confirmed his word. Amen. That's better than a man getting up out of a casket to me. Because you can be raised from the dead and still go back and die in sin. What was that? Amen. So I thank God for the man that came up. And I give God praise. And I found out that's Sister Laverne's son. Give God praise. Give God praise. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. They've been wonderful people. Amen. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29 through 31. Tonight, I'm going to teach from this subject. And I was praying and the Lord asked me to teach on this. And I told you I'm going to go against the grain preacher. This teacher going to go against the grain. But I'm going to stick with the script. Amen. I am not asking you to believe everything I say, but I'm asking you to test everything I say by the Holy Ghost and the Holy Canon of Scripture. I'm going to teach from this subject, Christ's righteousness and the righteousness that Christ will judge. Quiet in this Presbyterian church. I want to teach about Christ's righteousness. I want to make it clear about Christ's righteousness. But I also in this lesson want to teach about the righteousness that Christ is going to judge at the judgment seat of Christ. I'll tell you this based on the truth that nowhere in the scripture where you see Christ going to judge his own righteousness. In fact, it don't make sense for Christ to judge his own righteousness. It's already been judged, already been accepted. God accepted it when he took his blood into the Holy of Holies. Okay. Now, his righteous life is what caused us to be a righteous person. Okay, and I want that to be clear. That, and then I want to, before we close, I want to look at that scripture. God told me, go look at that scripture that everybody quote. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. I quoted that scripture for years and never looked at the context of it until God spoke this to me. And I think you're going to be shocked when you read that scripture in context. And what I mean by back up a few verses before it and read a few verses after it and see what he's talking about. I was shocked. Okay. So I'm going to teach on Christ's righteousness and the righteousness that Christ will judge. Okay. 1 Corinthians 1:29. Hallelujah. It says that no flesh should glory in his presence. Those of us who have been made righteous by Jesus Christ cannot glory in the fact that we made ourselves righteous. We can't glory in that. Because if it wasn't for him, none of us would know anything about being right with God. Okay? So I want to make that absolutely clear. And that's going to be the foundation I launch from. Because when I get into this and we get into the scripture, I want you to know my mindset on this. Okay? No flesh can glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. He's made unto us. Okay? Now, look at Matthew's chapter 5, verse 20. Now, believe it or not, well, let's just read it first. Matthew's 5, verse 20. And if we need to stop, anybody need to ask a question or interject something, please stop. Raise your hand or let me know. Verse 20, this is Jesus talking. Now, Jesus came out of God, and we know he's God, okay? And he's the Son of God, all right? Jesus was able to see the end from the beginning. Jesus knew all the doctrines that was going to come into church. He knew everything Satan was going to try to play, every trick Satan was going to play on the church. And his words covered everything, all right? Now, here he is teaching. He said in verse 20, for I say, this is Jesus, the Savior, okay? No preacher is greater than Jesus. He said, for I say unto you, who is you? Huh? You. Okay, now let's keep everything in context. He's talking to you. Okay, ultimately, he was talking to the apostles at the time, but whatsoever thing was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we, through comfort and patience of the scriptures, might have hope, Romans 15:4. So he's talking to us now. All right, Jesus said, I say unto you, okay, one more time, and I'm not trying to be repetitious for being funny. Who is you? You, okay. I say unto you, except your, who is your? Now, wait a minute. Now, your don't change to Jesus here. All right, y'all follow me? Or it, does it change anybody? Is Jesus talking about himself right here? Okay. All right. It says, for I say unto you. Now, let me give you this right here. I looked up that word. You know, I stick with the scriptures, but every now and then I look at these Greek words, Hebrew words, and I look at dictionaries. But I found it interesting that that word your, Y-O-U-R, the word is human, H-U-M-O-N. Let me just give you all these words. Human, H-U-M-O-N, humust, H-U-M-U-S, and human, H-U-M-A-N. All those words mean the same thing. It means someone come from the soil, someone come from the ground. It means the earth. It has to do with you. You. You was made from the ground. You was made from the dirt. Your body was made from the dirt. Your soul and spirit originally were made from the elements in the earth. Okay? So this Y-O-U-R, he is talking about humans. And that word human, H-U-M-O-N, humust, H-U-M-U-S, human, H-U-M-A-N, all of them mean you, self. Earth man is talking about you. Jesus said, I say unto you that except your righteousness. And in a minute, we're going to let the scripture define what he means by your righteousness. Because there's a teaching in the church and there's a mindset in the church that everybody for whatever reason, and I know Satan is a master deceiver, okay? Everybody, for whatever reason, honestly think that you're going to get, not you, when I say you, I'm talking about people. Satan have a way of deceiving us to think that some kind of way we're going to get into heaven because Christ lived the righteous life for us. And in a sense, that's true. And in a big sense, it's really not true. In other words, Christ didn't come and do what he did to obey God for you. It's just not in the Bible, people. If he wouldn't have done what he did, we wouldn't be righteous. All right. But the bottom line is what we got to get in our mind. Christ did not come here to do all of that and leave you with no responsibility at all, as if Christ going to obey God's word for you. He ain't going to do that. Now, if he's going to do that, and if it's something in the Bible that maybe we don't know, and something in our minds that, you know, God going to do it for us, question, why in the world he didn't do it for Adam and all this mess wouldn't be in the world? No, he did not do it for Adam, and he will not do it for you. Righteousness is available for everybody as a result of Christ's life, Christ's sacrifice. But if the church think that God's not going to look at your life as a result of being made righteous, we are literally fooling ourselves, and the Bible do not agree with us. Okay? Now, let me keep going. We're going to get to scripture in a minute. I'm just laying the foundation. All right. So he said, and I talk about this scripture all the time, but God has given me some light. And this ain't something I'm forcing on nobody. I'm a teacher, and I go with the conviction God give me. And hey, if you hear God, let's go. Okay, if you don't, I understand. For I say unto you, except your, Y-O-U-R, righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, who represented the leadership and the church of Jesus' day, because these were the religious leaders. Now, there's a church in our day. There's a lot of gospels in our day. There's a lot of things in our day. So this scripture is relevant to 2016 now. And he's literally saying, if your righteousness don't exceed what is generally called righteousness in this day and time, here's what Jesus said. Now, don't take Y-O-U now and make it fit Jesus here. You can do that if you want to, but the master talking, and I think we better believe that he say what he mean and mean what he say. Okay? And he said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus talking, still read, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, heaven and earth gonna have to pass away if this is a lie. This is not a lie. This is a fact. Now let's travel a little further. All right, Matthew's, glory to God, Matthew's chapter 7, look at verse 21. I think we really just need to believe what that Jesus is telling us the truth. All right. Not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord. How many people call him Lord? How many people go to church? How many people say they're born again? How many people say they know God? Hundreds of them, thousands of them, especially in America. But Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, the only one gone, he said, I'm saying only, but that's what he's talking. He said, but, he said, the one that going to go into heaven, but he that do the will of his father, of my Father, which is in heaven. He said, Jesus said, you are not going to heaven if you don't do my Father's will. Now, somebody going to say, they're going to go find that scripture in the New Testament that say, those religious leaders that asked him, they said, what shall we do to work the will of God? He said, the will of God is that you believe on the Son of God. Okay, but now anytime Jesus talking about believing, he's talking about believing with action. He ain't talking about just mentally believing. Okay, somebody going to say that. Somebody going to say, doing the will of God is just believing. Well, Jesus going to explain right here in context what he mean by believing if we just keep reading. He said, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name cast out devils and in thy name have done many wonderful works? Now, these were born again people doing these works now, because sinners don't do this. And these people not lying to Jesus. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Therefore is therefore the reason of what he just stated. He just stated, no one going unless they do the will of my Father. Now he's getting ready to proceed to tell you what the will of the Father is so that we don't have some interpretation of his will that's not biblical. Okay? He said, therefore, whosoever, this is the will of God, hear these sayings of mine and do them. This is the will of God. The one that hear what I say, hear what I teach, and do them. Now, I wonder who's doing them. Y'all quiet on me. This Bible study. Now, come on now. Let's be for real. Is it Jesus doing them for us? Come on now. Y'all know what y'all. Is it Jesus doing them for us? Okay. Now, Ezekiel, get your mic. Read Ezekiel 36:27. Okay. I'm going to go back. And y'all know I teach this all the time. But I'm going to go back and establish why God can hold us accountable. Because he made us a righteous person. He made us righteous. But he didn't make you righteous and leave you with no responsibility as if you're just going to glide into heaven on his ticket. Okay? Ezekiel 36:27.
And I will put my spirit within you.
Now, this is the last thing he said he was going to do after he said he was going to give you a new heart, a new spirit. He said, I'm going to cleanse you from all idols. I'm going to make you clean. And that bears witness with 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a righteous creature. Okay? But now, after all of that, then he's going to turn around and put his spirit in you.
And cause you to walk in my statutes.
And cause you. Oh, wait a minute. He's going to make you.
Cause you.
He ain't saying nothing about make. He said, I'm going to cause you what?
To walk in my statute.
To walk in my statute.
And ye shall keep my judgments.
You, Y-O-U, you, or it says ye, and now you shall keep my judgments.
And do them.
And do them. Who going to keep the judgments and do them?
We are.
Okay, so we can, do we think we're going to escape if we don't keep his judgment and do them? We're not. He said, you're not going to heaven if you don't do that. So I'm trying to show you the whole Bible matches. And if anybody think simply because Christ lived a righteous life that now you exempt from walking in righteousness, then that's the mindset got to be destroyed in believers because it's not true. It is a fantasy that's going to cause folk to be shocked when they look him in the eyes. Okay? Now, let's keep traveling. It says, therefore, whosoever shall hear these sins of mine and do them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house, your own house, your life. You're going to give an account to God upon a rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat up on that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone, now watch, he's going to reiterate Jesus' teaching. He said, now everyone that hear these sayings of mine and do them not. See, if you don't do them, he said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Verse 25. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat up on that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And everyone that hear these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat up on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Talking about the man who hear what he say and don't do it. Now it matches Apostle John. James said in James chapter 1, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he deceives himself. So to think that we can get to heaven without doing the word and just believe in him and what he did, then that's a deception. It's good to believe in him and what he did, but that do not exempt you from building your own house. You have responsibility. Okay, now let's go to Revelation 14 and look at, and in a few minutes we'll go to the Old Testament and get the foundation to what we're teaching. Revelation 14 and verse 13, it says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Now, you can die outside of the Lord. But if you die in the Lord, you're blessed. Okay? Now, if you die in sin, there is no way you're dying in the Lord, because there is no sin inside the Lord. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto him, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. They was doing something. Now you rest from your labors. And their works, what they was doing, do follow them. Whatever you're doing, going to follow you. And I'm about to show you in the Old Testament, whatever you're doing is what God is considering your righteous walk or unrighteous walk as a result of being made righteous. Now, we're going to go establish this in the Old Testament. Now, God done already looked at Christ. I'm sorry. God going to look at you now and what you did with what Christ did for you. Okay. And in Hebrews, when he talked about, I'm going to judge my people, he was talking about judging the ones that have been made righteous by the blood of Christ, and now they walked on and trampled on that wonderful sacrifice and still live the opposite life. He was talking about judging his people. He didn't, right there, he was not talking about judging sinners, ain't never knew it. His people. What is he judging? Because I gave my life, I died, I suffered, and made you righteous. And now you didn't have enough audacity to be in a heated situation or in a situation where you had to compromise or a situation where you had to either hate or love, and you didn't do the righteous thing. You didn't choose me. Now, Jesus, when he was in those situations, righteousness is, let me give you the definition, let me give you a common definition for righteousness so we'll be on the same page. Righteousness is doing what is acceptable to God. Whatever is acceptable to God, okay? If I'm in a situation with somebody in society and I do something unacceptable to God, and think Christ's righteousness is going to make up for that, I'm deceiving myself. Christ didn't die to make you okay in your unrighteous dealings. And that's not what Christ going to judge. He going to judge how you righteously handled things. The good part about it, if you're still breathing and you messed it up, you better get it straight. If you're breathing, you got time to get it straight. That's mercy. Okay, righteousness is doing what is acceptable to God in your day-by-day walk, okay? All right, now, Romans 2, then we're going to go to the Old Testament. Romans chapter 2, verse 6. This is in the New Testament under grace. Grace has been blown out of proportion. It's a total misunderstanding of grace in this New Testament age we're living in. Totally misunderstanding. All right, here's a New Testament document in Paul's writing to Christians, and he's addressing the mindset of a lot of Jews who's still in Rome and under Roman rule. Verse 6 says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. There's no way we can take this out the New Testament. There's no way the righteousness of Christ gonna excuse our deeds. No way. God did not let his son go through what he went through to excuse an unrighteous deed in our life. That is not God's purpose. Never was, never will be. The Bible said, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Whatever deeds you're doing that is not in line with what is acceptable to God, that's on you if you don't straighten that up. Because the Bible said he will render to every man according to his deeds. The Bible goes on to say in verse 8, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. Will Christ obey the truth for you? Let's be real. He ain't going to obey. Did he obey it for Adam? And if he'd have did it for Adam, Adam didn't really, why did he even give him free will and choice? Let me tell you something, people. God ain't going to manipulate your obedience. I don't care how strong we believe in him. He ain't going to manipulate your obedience. There ain't nothing, like I said, son, there ain't nothing magical, and God ain't going to obey God for you. And if we let that sink in our heart and in our mind, we'll get off this, when I say we, I'm talking about most of the church, we'll get off this trip and come back to reality, because this book going to be open when we stop breathing. And this book is what he going to judge everybody by. This book says, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. And he said, indignation and wrath is what they're going to get. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul that doeth evil. If you do evil and you don't get that thing straight, that's what he gonna that's what Christ gonna judge. You're gonna go up to the you're gonna do evil, and you're gonna die and go before the Lord and say, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in your righteousness. Well, if you did, why didn't you work righteousness? Now if you just heard me say that, I'm still not convinced, Apostle. Well, you may be convinced when Jesus tell you, because he's sure gonna tell you based on his book. Okay. It says tribulation and anguish upon every soul. And now here's an interesting scripture. Look at verse 11. And there is no respect of person with God. God ain't got no respect of person. He ain't going to treat us partial. Okay. Now, let's go. Okay, let's go to John 8 before I go to the Old Testament, because I want to show you something in the Old Testament. John 8 and verse 28 and 29. It says, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he. Talking about lifting him up on that cross to pay the sin debt and end sin for everybody. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Question, can you do always the things that please God or not? Boy, that came out real fast. Now, why don't we then? I'm not talking about you all now, but almost everybody would say yes. But for the folks that say yes and don't, why? That might be a question he might ask too when you look at him. And then the Bible said we're going to be held accountable for every word. And most of the body of Christ will say, I can always do the righteous thing if I choose to. And he's going to judge you by your own words. And if you didn't say it, he's going to judge you by your own thoughts. Because you can. In every situation, before Jesus made you righteous, you probably couldn't, because you had a spirit of iniquity, which was of the devil living in you. And you couldn't really make choices and carry all of them out, because you had a spirit who was stronger than you working in you. Christians don't have that problem no more on this side of Calvary if you've really been purged and made righteous. You ain't got that problem. And so Jesus, we read these scriptures, and Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. Well, that's why he died, folks. So you and I, after he make you righteous, will be able, in every heated situation, what's acceptable to you in this situation, Father, and do it.
Well, praise the Lord. That's it for today. Thank you for tuning in to the Someone Cares Ministry broadcast. I want to encourage you to come and visit us whenever the Spirit of the Lord will lead you. We are located at 10414 Mammoth Avenue in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 7 p.m., and Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you would like to call, our phone number is 225-243-9630. That's 225-243-9630. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis thanking you for tuning in. I want to encourage you to come out and partake with us in one of our Power Pack services, where the Spirit of God is demonstrating his Spirit and his power by his word. Glory to God. The Chief Apostle, Bishop Wendell Archer, or myself will be preaching in one of these services, so you're welcome to come out, 10414 Mammoth Avenue in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis saying we love you, thank God for you, and remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.